Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Promising to turn up the heat on government officials and a bid to better protect children across the country.
When you look at them, do they look different? You can't see every scar, they're so innocent. Every day they've been betrayed, 'cause nobody would listen. Every day they've been betrayed, with no one to protect them.
I can't watch this from the sidelines. I gotta fight this, I gotta try. I'm feeling outrage every day by all the children and so much pain. And if you didn't know, let me help you find out. A child needs your help and they need it right now. They're counting on us and we can't let them down. Listen to the words coming out of my mouth.
We won't rest until we see change and justice. We won't rest until we're sure this is the end of it. When everything is said and done, no one will be alone.
Good yawning this morning. Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. So it is Tuesday. It's a World News Tuesday with Mr. Mark Palmer. Mr. Mark Palmer is on his way to the studio joining me today. He didn't know. I sneak in a guest co-host. Say it. Oh, sorry. I chose the correct place.
Good morning, Aaron. Good morning, everybody. This is Gail Hanna speaking.
Absolutely. From JGN.
From JGN and Justice Gardens.
News Network.
Yes.
Our Guardian affiliate.
As long as we don't get copyright infringement.
Yes.
Anyway, Gail Hanna
is a former sport member.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully.
Renewing my contract.
With Bahamas Improv Comedy House.
Yes.
And Gail is part of the reason why I am here behind the mic today.
Woo.
Gail has inspired me as a part of the sport. She's our number one news reader.
Okay.
And she inspired me. In fact, she motivated me to take my skills from interpreter. I was region's best interpreter.
Yes.
I was proficient in pot cake, raccoon, curly tail lizard, pigeon.
Yes.
And angry man.
Not.
I picked that one up since we left.
I do remember you also performed in the, I think it was the Baptist Church interpretation style.
Oh,
is that correct?
Baptist liturgical interpretational stylings.
Yes.
That was me.
Correct.
Yeah. You didn't know because I was in a dress. It just confused everybody.
Oh, boy.
But I could interpret that, too. Anyway, it's great to have you here with us, Gail, to talk about some world news and bringing it back home, right?
Yes.
And why what's happening in the world is relevant to the Bahamas and how what's happening in the Bahamas connects to the wider world.
Mm-hmm. And we have quite a few things that we can discuss today as well. Yeah. So, yeah.
Absolutely. So we opened the show with a new song by, I think, Tenille Burrows and Friends. It's brand new song.
Oh, new. Ta-da.
Yeah. It's
okay.
Called We Won't Rest. And it's a song about child care and child protection.
Excellent.
And there's a quote, if we don't care about the safety of our children as a nation, we won't care much about anything else. And
mm-hmm.
that's a quote from Tenille Ta-da mm-hmm. Burrows.
I have used the hashtag before, Bahamian children are not safe. Mm-hmm. And that was essentially to kind of remind people that we are not doing enough in our communities to ensure the safety and the protection of our most vulnerable members, which are our children. So positive message in the song, and I think it sounds good. I don't know.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. You know, people were, on the global scene, some of Beyonce's fans were very shocked
mm-hmm.
that Rihanna's brand new single, the tribute to Chadwick Boseman,
right,
sawed past
the her latest release.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think people, you know, didn't really estimate, or they underestimated the desire to share in that collective grief, mm-hmm. in a positive way. And that song, that moment, gave people an opportunity, right, to hold him, the whole movie series, the impact it had on their lives, and the potential they see in their individual lives and the community, all in that song. Mm-hmm. And I like this. It's not a ballad because it's not a love song.
Right.
But I it's an anthem. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a little slower, but it's...
I think it really encapsulated, like you said, the feeling of the masses. Chadwick Boseman being who he was in Black Panther seemed to have inspired a wide range of generations into, you know, feeling good about themselves and Black power and so on. And so when he passed, it was tragic, and it did impact a lot of people. And so, as you mentioned with the song, it really brought that full circle in the anniversary of his death as well.
Yeah. And then, you know, as we're talking just now, you know what I realized? Like a figure like Bill Cosby, right, would have been regarded as, right, like that the Black man that we look up to.
The esteemed Black man,
right?
Yeah.
And since he had his case and sent to jail, mm-hmm. and exposed as not the nicest father figure,
mm-hmm.
Chadwick Boseman sort of stepped into that role with the movies that he made, mm-hmm. the inspirational movies, and then his personal experience.
Right.
Going through cancer, and then realizing that he was making these movies while he was ill and sometimes on death's doorstep.
Right, and didn't show it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. at all. That's it right there, mm-hmm. that not showing it. So that tribute was, I think, extra special.
Mm-hmm.
And for those people who don't understand, and maybe for younger people who don't understand how that song could have surpassed
Beyoncé's artists,
classic, because
yes.
that's already a classic. That's a part of it, because it helps us to have a collective moment of grieving and healing and bringing comfort, you know, to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I like We Won't Rest, and I hope that it can do the same thing mm-hmm. for Bahamians. On that note, I have to send out a bit of a somber message.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say condolences to Mr. Percy Sawyer and the Sawyer family,
mm-hmm.
and friends and family of his daughter, who tragically died.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I come from that community.
Right.
I grew up with her around there, you know, just in that community. Sneaking out of my corner to go to Mamako to get cuppa and baggy, mm-hmm. and salty and thing, mm-hmm. you know, and even laughing at us because we little bougie children who ain't supposed to be out our corner. And I know that this is not just a tragedy for the family, but it's a tragedy for the whole community.
Yes.
You know, and this is someone who had made themselves an example, a role model for other people and young women in mm-hmm. the community. And we are all just saddened, you know, by this loss.
Especially another young Bahamian woman lost to violent crime.
Yeah.
And the way that her life was taken from her, you know, it really makes you think and wonder in terms of what is actually going on with the escalation mm-hmm. of violence in our community, but especially toward women in our community as well. You know, what could have possibly warranted her losing her life in this way? And the answer is nothing. And mm-hmm. I extend my condolences as well to the Sawyer family and the Johnson Road family in the wake of this tragedy.
Yeah. It's, you know, I think we are going through a number of crises right now,
mm-hmm.
you know, individually and collectively. And I think this is when civil society steps up.
Right.
And says, listen, here is a list of services that we provide and we can provide,
mm-hmm.
right? That you look at the environment, you see what's needed, and you You don't solve people's problems, but you attempt to create an environment where people can better solve their problems on their own. Right.
Give them the tools.
Right.
To solve it.
And that's the role of both government and civil society. And then when you realize that government is actually three parts, it's the administration, the opposition, and civil society. Mm-hmm. And those three bodies are supposed to create an environment, mm-hmm. give people the tools, right? And create policy that not only charts a course, but takes account of what people are trying to do mm-hmm. and helps them. You
help
don't
them do it.
Determine the agenda. You look at the lives of Bahamians and you help them further their own agendas, right?
Yes. I've noticed an increase of, we speak about mental health, for example, mental illness, but then also we have a society generally unprepared to deal with things like rejection or things like taking accountability for their own actions. And as such, we have people reacting in violent ways to perhaps being rejected. Or we have people reacting in violent ways when they are more is being required of them mm-hmm. and do not have the tools to manage emotions, do not have the tools to manage these situations.
Right. They don't have the tools. And mm-hmm. it's very easy to say, look here, Ms. Green, that boy is 25 years old and he should know
right.
by now how he ought to behave.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you what, if you've grown up yourself,
mm-hmm.
right, which many young people have been forced to do,
mm-hmm.
if you've been forced to process your own trauma, whether it's physical abuse, sexual abuse,
mm-hmm.
psychological abuse like a parental negligence
yep.
or abandonment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you reach a situation where someone is not nice to you, they don't deserve, right? Nobody deserves violence. They're not nice to you.
Mm-hmm.
But it triggers something in you that you've legitimately been trying to hold it down.
Right. And that's a thing, too.
Right.
It's being held down, suppressed, and then you have this one moment where it explodes.
Right. And so for me, it's a lot of women's rights advocates, they push me on the side. They say, you know, like, you don't sound like you engaging in women's rights advocacy. And I say to them, look here, I know men and I love these men. And the men I know who I love, they love me. And so when I see dysfunctional behavior, I don't just automatically assume that man is a dog and all men are dogs and there's nothing you could do about it. Mm-hmm. I ask, what is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like last week, Wednesday was Man Down Wednesday.
Okay.
And me and one of the guests, the panelists, right?
Mm-hmm.
We had a nice little tuss, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I tell him, boy, look here, you rough me up. The people call and say, oh, he rough you up, Miss Green.
Right.
I say, yeah, it was Man Down. You know, when this incident occurred in Johnson Road,
mm-hmm.
he messaged me before the sun was up. He's like, look here, you all right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? So I know these
because
men.
Because that's your community.
Right. I know these men are not dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So I am compelled to dig deeper and say, well, what is at play? Why are men who we know they weren't born bad?
Right.
They're not inherently bad and they don't hate women. How have they gotten to a place where they could just kill a woman?
Right.
Or, like people like to say, slap her down.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
treat her like property as opposed to
right.
someone of their own volition or someone of their own person.
Yeah, and that's it, right? Someone of their own person. Like
right.
we are in relationship. And so we realize that they don't have the tools.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can have multiple conversations at the same time. They don't have the tools. This behavior needs to stop.
Mm-hmm.
How do we help them get the tools, develop the tools? Who are the men or women that they want to talk, that they're willing to talk to? We could have these multiple conversations without demeaning men to the point where they begin to believe they are nothing.
Right.
Right? Like, mm-hmm. Because that's why it's important to not talk down to that. That's why it's important to not tell these... Well, I got to say good morning to an avid listener. Ray, don't watch nothing. It's November. I'm about to call you. But this is a gentleman that every time he sees me, he says, look here, Ms. Green, we have to have these conversations.
Mm-hmm.
He say, eyes, man. And I telling you, these men are affected in the infancy and childhood when they begin to hit puberty and start to become men in their bodies. You look just like you're no good, pa.
Yes.
Because you know why? They smell like they daddy. That's natural.
I was going to mention that a lot of women are actually the perpetrators of that mindset as well. It's mm-hmm. not mainly, for example, the lack of a father figure or lack of example. A lot of the perpetration is done by women in society. The same thing as you mentioned, you know, mm-hmm. no good pa and so on. Those messages are coming from women as well.
Yeah. And they come in from, it's not just like, see, it ain't just like a woman on the street. Hey, beautiful, you whistle just like you're no good pa. Boy, suck his teeth, keep walking.
Yeah.
This is coming from the woman.
The nurturer.
The caregiver, mm-hmm. the closest, the person I'm most vulnerable to, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand how y'all don't get that in this society, because there's two types of women. There's mom, and then there's, come here. That's it.
Yeah,
if you are regarded as a mom, you will be respected,
mm-hmm.
right? But you're also supposed to know, it's wild out there, right? But the two type of women, and this is something that they have tried to develop, right? It's like a tool that they tried to develop to figure out. And then I want to say, no, you got to be nice to all of them, and even when they run, even when they trying to swing you for $5 and each. You know, like when the woman convinced you to take her out to lunch and you can pay for the lunch, and then she order what she want and you order what you want, and then she eating your food too? Like, even when they do that to you, gentlemen.
Do not resort to violence.
Right, and be nice.
Oh, well.
Okay, I got a couple of texts here. Great show as usual, Miss Green. The pharmacies are closed, so if any of my family need medication, I will need you to give me the Google location to who's selling the pharmacy supplies from the back of their house. Don't worry.
Oh,
I ain't good talking.
Wow.
Listen, dear texter, I read the text because that's on everybody's mind.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a couple of notices here about the schedules for the government clinics. We're going to talk about that. I'm glad you raised the point, though, because this is a very important issue. And we're going to talk about it. You see that thing you said, make sure ain't nobody... Oh, no, you wanted to know. I thought you were saying, make sure ain't nobody selling medication
out the back door.
No,
they want to know.
Oh, dear text, I can't tell you that. But what I can say that there are people out here who understand why an association of this nature would take such a drastic move,
mm-hmm.
right? We understand what it means to negotiate with government.
Yes.
When you are charged and brought before the courts, the court acknowledges that it's you, and you cheapest you get a lawyer, because the state has all of its resources
mm-hmm.
at its hands to prosecute you.
Yep.
All you got is your lawyer and your prayers. And so we understand why these organizations would take a drastic move like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that there's us, the regular people, that are stuck in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And so on the vein of this texter, I want to say, if the pharmacies are closed, let them be closed for everybody.
Hmm.
Right? No friends, families.
Back door.
Yeah.
Window, come to the window.
Yeah.
Come to the shop.
Absolutely.
Okay.
This, yeah. They're like, it requires everybody to commit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't be fancy. Don't be one of them people who have plenty numbers in your phone and could call anybody at any time and get anything. Unless you can be a Robin Hood. Like the boys them in Brazil who kidnapped the whole medical mobile ambulance. And took it up into the favelas to ask them to give out medication to everybody up there.
Because mm-hmm.
they weren't getting access to it, unless you could do that. But we're going to get to that. Another text. For heaven's sake, not only women are getting killed, there's no bias against women. Why don't you stop this gender division? You're really biased in dividing this country. I mean, the newspaper said...
We are literally speaking about a woman being murdered. I'm not sure what the texter may have missed about that. Not everything is a gender war. Not everything is biased. If we discuss in the matter at hand, that's what we're discussing.
Right now, I often talk about how we must take into account that many gang members were inculcated, right, in or brought into gangs. They became gang members when they were children, when their brains were too soft to make sensible decisions. And so I hold an empathy, right? There's a space that I hold for them, particularly when young men are being killed in gang activity. Mm-hmm. But it's not the same thing, Texter. I don't think that this is a bias. And I think that if you want, I can hold space for you to talk about what's happening with men. And if you don't mind, I can hold space for us to talk about what's happening with women.
Mm-hmm.
And we could work it out. Don't be, you know, don't get upset. Okay. Text, glad for clarification. Government didn't tell us they were putting VAT on life-saving medication. It's time to run them out of office. At least Minnis kept us alive, brave, trying to kill us all.
Okay.
Okay. Dear Texter, I'm not sure I understood the text, but I'm very concerned about taxes on essential things,
mm-hmm.
like medication.
Yes.
Now, I could understand one tax on food, but why are we paying multiple taxes on food? Why are we paying food stamp plus, stamp tax?
Stamp tax?
Yeah, what that is, like you pay 25 cents on every something.
Okay, it's a government stamp.
Yeah,
yes.
Government stamp tax, uh-huh. And then you got to pay duty, and then you got to pay VAT, and then they're gonna calculate the freight and the duty together and charge you VAT on that again,
mm-hmm.
and then that's calculated into the price, and then you got to pay VAT on the price in the food store. I don't know.
And that's the case with where the common man or the common consumer absorbs the highest amount of taxation.
Yeah.
Because it's being taxed on the duty and customs, as you mentioned, being brought into the country,
mm-hmm.
taxed by the wholesalers to retailers, taxed by retailers to the corner store or the, corner pharmaceutical or, you know,
yeah.
wherever you have access to it. And then you as the consumer are then expected or you're forced to absorb each level of taxation at the bottom rung.
Yeah. It is, and that's across the board though, right? That's
mm-hmm.
not a partisan thing. I don't want you all to feel like when the FNM, and I did say when, I didn't say if, I did say when the FNM get back in power, that they're not going to do the same thing,
mm-hmm.
right? That they're going to somehow magically lift all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a partisan issue. This is a governance issue. And so in the question I had, you know, when does a problem become a crisis, looking at the food security crisis, or positing that I think we have a food security crisis, that's one of the things that arises, right? Why are we paying multiple taxes on food
mm-hmm.
when food should be an essential service, right?
Yes.
And can we have a different type of conversation about the pricing of food in the markets, right? Because with both the retail grocers, and I think the Retail Grocers Association is in the paper today. In fact, if you look at the front fold of The Guardian, main caption, shutdown, Retail Grocers Association says prices will remain unchanged. So even though the prices are supposed to change today, they're saying that along with the Bahamas Pharmaceutical Association, they're going to hold off on that in an attempt to further negotiations with the state,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Pause right there. And so not only do I have the question, why are we paying multiple taxes on food items? Now, mind you, I think that's a government question.
Right.
Right? Now, I will say, I sure the Retail Grocers Association was at the table
during that
negotiation.
Mean, mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay.
I'm sure they're at the table.
They know what's going on.
Right, but that's a government thing. Another question is this. Now, y'all don't get upset at me, because I like asking questions. What exactly are both the Pharmaceutical Association and the Retail Association concerned about? Is it about profit margins, or is it about losing money? Because, see, if you tell me you losing money, then I get it. You can't right. lose money.
Right. That's the whole point of opening a business.
The bank don't talk. And no, forget that, because this is an essential service.
Okay.
The bank don't care when you're losing money, mm-hmm. right? But if you're telling me that it's about the negotiation of reduced profit margins, but if you're making a profit, like $10 profit and $100 profit is still all profit.
Right.
You didn't lose any money. And if these two things, and I think they are, I think the government should determine them and classify them as essential services, then the emphasis shouldn't be on the profit margin. It should be on ain't nobody could go home broke.
Okay.
You get to meet your bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
You have to come out of the red into the black.
Mm-hmm.
When we get to the question of profit, what I have is a negotiation about profit margins warranting a immediate no notice shutdown of pharmacies in a country where 3 years ago at the beginning of the pandemic, you told us y'all don't really need to be afraid of COVID as much as you need to be afraid of the comorbidities in the country.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to me to be a very drastic measure for negotiations over profit margins. Now, if you're telling me that you're being put in a place where you're just going to lose money,
that'll be different.
That'll be different. Mm-hmm. Right? You just can't survive and that can't work. And then I say, yeah, the government should then step to the table, the negotiating table, with a... willing to reduce taxes
mm-hmm.
on these items.
Right.
Yeah. Because this is beyond.
And as you mentioned, the pharmaceutical system in place, mm-hmm. healthcare system in place, specifically the government system in place, is not equipped to handle the shutdown of these services in a 24-hour time period. There's been a notice sent out about later times for government pharmacies to be operating in order to accommodate this shutdown. And you're looking at persons working extended hours almost overnight. Mm-hmm. You're looking at a lack of inventory mm-hmm. for medications that people need, or maybe even a lack of the specific types of medication that people need over this period of time. It seems as though, okay, you want to shut down, but is the government equipped to handle such a shutdown?
Mm-hmm.
Is the government equipped to handle having these pharmacies operate in the aftermath of this, you know, all these other pharmacies? Yeah, shutting down.
And we're not, listen, this is no attempt to demean or vilify.
Okay.
We're not attempting to vilify the Pharmaceutical Association. First things first, I like to ask questions. And I think these are important questions. And I think we can have these conversations in a way where we're not vilifying
right.
any particular group. Now, Gail, I got a couple of texts.
Okay.
And then we got a call. Let's go to the call, and then we're going to go to the text. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Morning.
Morning.
There seems to be some misunderstanding on the price control and so-called profit. What they're doing is they're limiting the amount that you can add on to the product you buy.
Mm-hmm.
That still has to cover your operating costs
mm-hmm.
in order for you to make some money.
Okay.
Now, your operating costs tend to be pretty static. You're paying, well, until PPL goes up, but mm-hmm. basically, you're paying for utilities, you're paying your rent, you're paying your staff, you're paying all the insurances and so on and so forth. That doesn't change. Now, government comes along and says, well, no, you're not allowed to add on as much as you were before because we're going to control your margin.
Okay, so it's
a lot of companies.
It's not a profit. It's not a profit margin negotiation then.
No.
I get it.
I mean, it's a gross profit, not a net profit.
I got you.
The gross profit still has to have your operating expenses taken out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
And those can be substantial. And what the government, it's actually not price control, it's margin control.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And in fact, the fallacy of profit is this, that if you're under margin control, for example, let's say you're a grocer,
uh-huh,
and you're buying tomato paste, and you are limited to how much you could mark that up by price control, you're going to buy the most expensive tomato paste you can find
to cover the operating cost.
Is higher. Mm-hmm. So, in fact, price control does not achieve its objective because it forces the seller to find the most expensive product he possibly can.
That makes sense. I mean, from what have I've experienced and observed over the years, it makes sense. So why can't we then shift the entire conversation? Because I agree with you. It can't be a gross profit margin. It must be a net profit margin.
Well,
you have to be able to take into account those costs.
Well, you have to, but they don't. They don't care. It's government. Okay? I mean, but it starts in the point of view is, in a allegedly free society such as ours, by what authority is the government going to tell a business what they can and can't do in terms of their buying, selling?
Does the fact that an essential service or essential products being provided, does that change that in any way, in your opinion?
No, it doesn't matter. I mean, what's the point of an essential service where you're going to determine the price that is not sufficient for a company to remain in operation, and then they go out of business? Now you got no essential service.
I mean, we get that part. Like I say, I couldn't imagine that this is about a gross profit margin, like, and not a. I'm stunned.
It is totally about a gross profit
margin,
and I know because I have a business that actually does operate under price control.
So listen, what would you require? Because I can let you know right now, I think the pharmacies should be essential service. I think they should be treated differently. I think there should be no VAT on medication, and there should be no VAT or duty on feminine hygiene protection, right?
I agree with that.
What would you need?
You don't need price control.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's what the government is essentially doing. The prior administration removed that from essential medicines and foods.
Yeah.
These people came in, put it back. Now you've got inflation, which we have no control over. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, oh, this is too expensive now, so I'm going to restrict your margin and hope you don't go out of business.
Yeah.
Because I put that back on. I mean, they could knock 10% off across the board if they just remove that again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got you.
Okay.
Is that one of the options that the association has put forward?
I don't know. I am not in that business.
I got you. But
okay.
Listen, thank you.
I'm just speaking from a general
perspective.
Point of view of logic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Being in the price control business that I am,
mm-hmm,
I want to sell the most expensive item I can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get it. I understand. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Absolutely. We're going to go to a break, dear texters. When we get back from the break, I'm going to get right to you. And then we're going to read this statement from the Ministry of Health and Wellness. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We'll be right back.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, they've been on the scene. Protect. SJ, SJ, SJ. S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Good morning and welcome back. Welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green on this Guardian 96.9 FM Tuesday, the day after Halloween. It's All Hallows Day, and I noted, Miss Hannah, that you didn't bring any candy. You didn't even bring any fruit and vegetable with your healthy self.
Oh, man. And I had a whole bag of star fruit in my car this morning. My Lord. I am so sorry.
I'm so glad I know where her car parked. Since we're talking about food restrictions. But listen, this situation is problematic. I'm not taking it lightly, even if I may throw a joke in there one or two. Mm-hmm. We understand how this impacts everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to say to the government, like, look here, this is it. This is what you're getting paid to do. All y'all MPs, cabinet ministers, ministers of state, because y'all not junior ministers, y'all ministers of state. This is what you get paid to do. Mm-hmm. You get paid to not sleep until this matter is resolved, to remember that all y'all constituents are affected and impacted by this action. In fact, if I was y'all, I would set up a constituency office team just to field calls and voice notes on your constituency WhatsApp from community members that need medication and don't know how they're going to get it,
right.
Especially those that are not mobile.
Yes.
Right? That's what you get. Remember when the chairman of the committee who was responsible for public disclosures put out the statement saying, oh, maybe they didn't know they were supposed to disclose. They're so busy. Because he imagined that this is what you would be doing right now in a time like
such as this.
And so here's the notice from...
Well, you know... I will say this, and this may be a bit tongue-in-cheek, right?
Yeah.
But the Bahamas Pharmaceutical Association sent the letter on October 27th, which I believe was, I'm sorry, the proposal. I think it was the proposal that they said. Forgive me if I misquote that. But when have you ever received service from a government agency in less than 3 days?
You ever had a warrant? You ever had a warrant? That department.
Yeah, now you get a response quickly. Understood. Okay.
So let's start with the Bahamas Pharmaceutical Association statement on temporary closure published last night. The association has complied with Minister Halkidis' request to offer recommendations to achieve economic relief for the nation on October 21st, 2022.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine... They're saying that the request
for the proposal was submitted
on October 21st.
21st, yes.
They're saying that this document was sent as a response to a lack of consultation from the government with the pharmacy industry on the Price Control Regulation Amendment 2022.
Correct.
Our document sent on October 27th,
like
you were saying, has not received a response to its contents, nor has our request for further discussion been acknowledged.
You think it's on someone's desk?
It is very possible.
It might be
nothing
in the mail.
Nefarious going on at all.
Yeah.
That person gone on vacation.
Yes.
That's it.
That's very possible, yes.
Yeah. Therefore, the BPA has made the decision to advise its membership that it is their in their best interest for pharmacies within the Commonwealth of the Bahamas to close our doors temporarily commencing November 1st. That's today.
Mm-hmm.
We will advise a reopening date as soon as possible. Sorry, we value our customers and will advise. I don't want you all to think I left that out. With the excellent service they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
We hope that you unite with us in this movement and God bless the Bahamas. Okay, so from the Ministry of Health and Wellness, in wake of the recent announcements by the Bahamas Pharmaceutical Association, the Ministry of Health and Wellness wishes to advise the public that the following clinics will be available for the accessibility of pharmaceutical drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth Estates Clinic, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Flamingo Gardens Clinic, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Fleming Street Clinic, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. South Beach Health Center, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Exuma Primary Care Center, mm-hmm. 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Family Island residents should visit their community clinics for all pharmaceutical needs as usual.
Mm-hmm.
Now, dear Ministry of Health and Wellness and all other ministries, right? Don't think just because you work for the ministry responsible for beaches that you could go on the beach.
Okay.
Everybody, all hands on deck. When Ministry of Health call and say they need help, help them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is what is required. Okay, I got a text here that says, imagine if you sold used cars and the government suddenly told you that you can only make half your profit. You landed a Paso at $2,200. You were selling wholesale Pasos at only $3,000. That might sound low, but that's wholesale kind of markup. Now the government says, oh no, your new price is $2,600. And just be happy with half the profit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Dear texter.
First of all, please don't sell no more Paso. It's too many of them. Okay, go on.
Second of all, I don't know if a car is the perfect
example,
but I appreciate what you're saying.
Yeah, the analogy.
No, and we appreciate this. Like I say, the judiciary shows you right off the top. It's you and your little lawyer from Fort Street to Grove,
mm-hmm.
and it's the weight of the entire Commonwealth of the Bahamas against you. So we're nobody, we're not downplaying private sector negotiations with government. We ain't downplaying any of that. I, as an advocate, I had to go all the way to Geneva, to the UN, to talk to my government.
Mm-hmm.
So we appreciate it. Pharmacists and food retailers now get to experience a little of what gas retailers have been experiencing for decades today. The gas retailer margin is 7%.
Okay.
And then now you're all telling me that's gross profit and not net. Is it gross profit on gas as well?
Or net profit.
Or net profit.
Most likely. Well, I don't want to speculate, sorry.
Yeah. But then you get a sense of why they are so upset. Because
mm-hmm.
a profit is a profit, but...
And we have quite a few examples of industries that were thriving here, mm-hmm. especially on New Providence Island. Mm-hmm. And they were basically eradicated by changes made such as this, increases in taxation, increases in the cost to bring these goods in, control on the price of these goods, etc. So
yeah.
It's understandable.
Somebody just texted and said, for the gas retailers, it's gross profit. And this is why it's important for associations, agencies, organizations to not only form a professional guild, right, where
mm-hmm.
people sort of pay dues, but to produce a publication, a journal, where these things are documented. And political pundits and government actors can't come in and obfuscate, confuse the conversation, and then people who want to talk about it can have a more informed
discussion,
conversation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So another text. Price control is important on essential goods and services as these are deemed that humans have the right to them. Running water, electricity, communication for far too long. Life-saving medication has gone unchecked.
Mm-hmm.
Government needs to hold firm.
Okay.
Dear Texter, the duty on a paso is 65% plus 10% VAT, and you're saying the government doesn't influence your profit? Clearly, you're not in vehicle sales. Medication is duty-free and was VAT-free for many years. Duty on paso is 65%, and we still have... Take it up to 95%, dear government. Maybe we'll see a massive reduction in paso.
Oh, man.
And paso always trying to pass you on the road.
Yeah, on the wrong side of the road.
And with three tires.
And pushing out the corner. And anyway, oh, Lord.
Tell that texter your paso drivers cannot drive.
There you go.
Good luck with getting what you need from these government clinics.
That is the main concern,
yes.
Unfortunately. Do you have access to what you need? Will you be served with a smile? Will you be able to get what you need on the same day, even? Like,
And the people buying for the government, are you all looking at the files to see what you need to order?
That's another thing as well.
Because I get far too many complaints from people that the doctors send them to the pharmacy
to get it.
And the medication
is not available.
Right. And then there's all kinds of issues. Pre-pandemic, someone indicated to me, pre-pandemic, the price of a maintenance drug that no generic is available in country went from $5 to $12 to $29
over three years. Mm-hmm.
It is, anyway, some more texts here. I got a text on my other phone. It says, remember, people are not just dying in these tragic events. They are dying slowly over time due to social and economic factors as well as climate change. We cannot get up before another hit.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't the pharmacists eliminate the markup but include standard fees like registration for patients, prescription processing, packaging, etc.? They can follow the government protocols and be more transparent with the customer. I do think we need to engage more strategies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just like with the food stores, retailers. I know you got staff to feed.
Right.
So we ain't trying to tell you starve your staff, especially working in a food store. But what are the ways that you could increase your profit or your profitability without raising the price on the customer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you increase efficiency? Can you serve more customers? And sell more things by increasing your speed, the work ethic. Can you reduce theft?
Mm-hmm.
You know, reduce losses through theft and negligence by shifting culture with both the employee and the consumer, because consumers are responsible for a lot of loss in the store.
Yes.
It's like, why you think you should go into a food store with over 10,000 items, the individual items, pick up something from a cold section, take it with you, and then just leave it in a hot section.
Yeah.
And then complain that the price has gone up.
Mm-hmm.
The price has gone up because of your behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And that
can affect it. Yep.
Yep. And okay, some more texts here. No, I will not tell Lowe's Pharmacy that.
Okay.
Where I supposed to buy my feminine hygiene protection from? Y'all already seemingly forget biology class as soon as you leave it.
Mm-hmm.
About 50% of us have to reckon with this once a month
mm-hmm.
for most of our lives. You already want to charge stamp tax and duty and freight and customs and VAT and on it. And I just think it should be free.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little crazy.
Yes, and no, it's something that is necessary.
Right. And, you know, Cassius Stewart, I miss you. We miss you.
Okay.
You should come here and do that in the Bahamas. You should make that. Anyway, the point... The point is, with the closure of the pharmacies, right, that means for women who use tampons
mm-hmm.
in particular, right,
okay.
that their accessibility is reduced drastically because the pharmacies outside of the two major food stores were really the only people with a consistent supply across the line of products,
mm-hmm.
right, from sort of light to heavy flow, man, you could turn off the radio.
They need to know that, yes.
Yeah. But because the pharmacies shut down with very little notice, now the supply in the food store, right, is going to get used.
You have less options for products. You have, in terms of the price, it's generally in the same price range.
Yeah.
The access to the products that you have, if you, for example, want to use something different that may be less carcinogens or, you know,
yeah,
like more natural, you don't have access to that in the food stores and the local corner store. It's usually more generic. And
then only pads.
Right.
Right. And so then think about this. For many restaurants, when the wholesaler is out of a product, right, they run to the food store and they grab up as much as they can.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when now the Family Island stores that are relying on pharmacies for their, they're not all relying on pharmacies for that thing, but relying on pharmacies for that shipment, now they run to the food store and buy out what was available in the food stores to send to the Family Islands, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a big thing.
Yeah.
And it impacts all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I got 30 seconds, Miss Hannah, to read all these texts and invite you back on my show.
Okay.
When you go to government clinic, the staff look at you with a look that says, why you come here? This
my
is only
Lord.
For migrants. No, that is not what that look
That's
is.
It's why you come here. That's what that look
when I went to PMH with my what I thought was my broken toe and my crutches, and I asked for an x-ray, the boy look at me and say, miss, there's 2 weeks. I
yes.
look at him and I say, I think I broke my toe. And I swear he look at me like, miss, you sound like you could afford Doctor's Hospital. Why are you here stressing the state's resources?
Doctor's Hospital is not seeing you if you do not come through the door with either insurance or $3,000. So the average Bahamian is most likely unable to take advantage of that service.
Yes.
But with the pharmacies, especially the government pharmacies, we have a population that has high rates of diabetes, high rates of hypertension,
kidney disease,
what they call chronic illnesses,
yeah.
Persons with, we just came out of the Breast Cancer Awareness Month, persons with breast cancer or other various cancers. And these medications are, for example, you would have, I believe the diabetes medication, as we mentioned, was about 5 days.
Yeah.
You know, so what happens when you don't have access to that when that time period is up?
Yeah. And so to the Pharmaceutical Association, do this. Tell me what else I need to sacrifice as a part of this so that those people could get that essentially. Tell me what you need me, what hardship you need me to endure to maintain this protest so that those people will be safe.
Right.
Right. And that's what we need to figure out. What can I personally sacrifice so other people who are impacted by this and have no control are in a better position? That's what being a part of community is. Dear producer, play that music, or me and Gail, we can sit here and we can talk all day. I like this, Gail. I got Mr. Mark Palmer, I'm sorry we missed you. You better be here next Tuesday so you could meet Miss Hannah and we could continue this good conversation. We're going to talk about the doomsday vault, the food security crisis, because this is all tied, ties in. And are we willing to eat the things that we can grow and to grow the things we want to eat? That's the big question, Bahamas. Y'all stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with Cecil Newry is up next. Have a wonderful day. Thank you, producer.
I gotta try. I'm feeling outrage every day by all the children and so much pain. And if you didn't know, let me help you find out. A child needs your help and they need it right now. They're counting on us and we can't let them down. Listen to the words coming out of my mouth.
We won't rest until we see change and justice. We won't rest until we're sure this is the end of it. When everything said and done, no one will be alone. We won't rest till every child is safe and sound at home. Oh, I won't rest till every child is safe and sound. What do you do when home ain't safe anymore? When it's so hard to trust anyone. It's so hard to hear. I've been abused. I've been broken and bruised. I've been mistreated and used.